We'll be getting our new pews. And there's an announcement that goes with that. Neglected announcement. Okay? It's supposed to be in the bulletin, but I don't see it in there. So the announcement is, with the new pews, no food and beverages in the auditorium. Okay? No food and beverages in the auditorium. And that really has been the rule in the past, but we've kind of let it slide, but we have a reason to reinstitute or remind the people about that. Jeremiah, God's plan for the Word of God. God's plan for the truth. As we think of the book of Jeremiah, we are reminded that that God is has a plan for the truth. God told Jeremiah when he called him, reminded him that the people would not receive the message. It reminds us of Isaiah chapter 6, where God calls Isaiah to preach, and when he preaches, he tells them that instead of what he's going to preach to cause them to receive the Word of God, it will cause their heart to be hardened. In Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord said in verse 8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And verse 9, he says, and go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and convert and be healed. Now, of course, these are the verses that the Lord Jesus quoted. And the Apostle Paul quoted these verses, that this would be the effect of the ministry of Isaiah. It would be the effect of the ministry of Jesus. The Word of God would be given, but instead of causing people to respond positively, the Word of God would harden their hearts, and they would not receive it. And as the Lord calls to Jeremiah the people, he is reminding them that they are not going to hear it. They're not going to receive it. They won't respond to it. As we said in Sunday school, adult Sunday school, we don't know of one single convert that Jeremiah had. Now, I think this is worthy of mentioning, that the setting makes it very clear that it is important that the truth be given, whether it is received or not. The truth is to be given, whether it is received or not. God wants the truth to be told. And the fact that he wants the truth to be told is seen by the fact that he calls a man, Jeremiah, to tell the people, and yet tells them they won't listen to what you have to say. God wants the truth to be known. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1, it says, before I formed thee, in verse 5, I knew thee. Before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said to me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee. And whatsoever I command me, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. And saith the Lord. Now, God has a plan for the word of God. God has a plan for the truth. God wants the truth to be known. Now, we know that God wants the truth to be known for a number of reasons other than he wants, just because it is his plan, desire, that the truth be known. You know, a lot of preachers don't believe that. They don't really believe that God wants his truth to be known, because they only preach what they think people will respond to. But the Apostle Paul told, Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said when it's popular and when it's not popular. You know, you think about it. The Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth, and so that men would be without excuse. God wants people to have the truth, because it is the truth. He wants them to be without excuse. He wants the people to repent. Of course, they cannot repent unless they are told the truth. Throughout the book of Jeremiah, he is telling the people what they must do to repent. Jeremiah chapter 17, a number of places, but it's interesting, different things that the prophet says to the people. In Jeremiah 17, verse 24, it says, And if shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of the city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work therein. Then there shall enter into the paths of this city kings and priests sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, and they and their princes, the men of Judah, and the instruments of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. Verse 27, But if ye will not hearken unto me, to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering at the gates of Jerusalem in the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the places of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Now here is Jeremiah telling the people the city is going to be destroyed because of their sins. But then in the midst of it, he's giving them an opportunity to repent and to avoid the judgment of God. God wants people to hear the truth so that they can repent and they can avoid the judgment of God. Now in this passage of scripture, I just think it's a unique passage. And you say, well, what? How? How could this, just this one thing, you know, hallowing the Sabbath, how would that avert God's judgment? Well, because it summarizes and epitomizes, it puts all together the heart of the people. It puts together faith. It puts together obedience. It puts together who's first. It puts together who is God really God. It wasn't just an outward form. It was a reality. It was a reality of their turning to God and turning from their sin. Of course, there's a number of things in the whole book that the Lord mentioned specifically, and here is one of them. But, you know, God wants the people to repent. And how can they repent? A number of years ago, there's a fellow who visited the church from the Bible camp right on Phantom Lake. And I went over to visit him, and he kind of intimates, says, "Well, you know, your church preaches against sin." And I said, "Of course. How can people repent if they don't know what to repent of? You know, well, you know, new evangelicals don't really believe in repentance, you know. But I told them you can't repent of something that you don't know is wrong. You know, people get saved on preaching on tithing. Do you know that? Because it's the truth. God wants people to know the truth. And people's reception of the truth, no matter what it is, has to do with their heart, has to do with God. And so God wants people to hear the truth, because he wants them to have no excuse. He wants them to repent. God wants people to know the truth, because the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. People need to hear the Word of God. And because the Word of God is the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses to convict lost sinners and the people of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's what the Word of God does. And people need to hear the truth of the Word of God. But you know what? God wants the truth to be known. And you know, young preacher, there are some subjects that aren't too popular. And there are some subjects that a lot of preachers won't preach about. And if you want to know what a compromiser is, a new evangelical is, listen to the radio and find out all the things that they never preach about. That's right. Just make a list of all the things that they never preach about. Never. They're not going to preach about separation. They aren't going to preach about ecclesiastical separation. They aren't going to preach about personal separation, most of them. They aren't going to preach about these things. Oh, they got all these nice things to preach. And people, oh man, my heart, I'm so wonderful, wonderful, I love that. But what aren't they preaching? That's the issue. You know, because they don't really believe that God wants people to know the whole truth. That's it. But the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that people are not set free if they don't know the truth. And so God wants the truth to be known. Now, in his quest for the truth to be known, God calls men to proclaim the truth. God calls men to proclaim the truth. And here we have, which is the very foundation of this book, we have the call of Jeremiah. God calls men to proclaim the truth. Verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. O Lord, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. This is a essential truth of the Word of God, is that God calls men to proclaim the truth. Ezekiel chapter 3. Actually, Ezekiel chapter 1, we have the vision of the holiness of God, the glory of God in heaven. And God reveals himself to Ezekiel And the last verse of chapter 1 says, "And as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud of the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face." We'll stop there. I fell on my face. This was the same response of Isaiah. He fell on his face when he saw the holiness of God. It says, "And I heard a voice of one that spake." And he says, verse 3, "And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. And they and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are impotent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are rebellious people, ye shall know that there hath been a prophet among them." God wants people to know the truth, whether they respond or not. God wants them to know the truth. And God calls men to proclaim the truth. God calls men. Now, it seems like a simple statement, but you know, this is the plan of God. God's plan is to call men to proclaim the truth. That is the center of the plan of God concerning the truth of the Word of God. God calls men to proclaim the truth because He wants the truth to be known. Now, as we see this great truth, God is calling men today. You know, I'm glad that God is still calling men. God's still in the truth business. Amen? And God still is in the truth business in this day of apostasy. I just marvel in this day of apostasy that you don't have, hardly do you have any of these national preachers on VCY preaching about the apostasy. Do you hear any of them preach about it? I don't listen, so I don't know. Are they talking about the apostasy? They aren't talking about the apostasy. You know, if you were in your house and there was a fire spreading through your neighborhood and all the other houses were burning down, do you want someone to come and tell you about lemonade? Or do you want someone to tell you about the fire? Amen? Well, that's just plain logic. God calls men because there's a message that needs to be heard. And the message is a timely message that needs to be heard and that people need to hear. So God is calling men who will deliver the timely message of the hour. That is it. You know, if Jeremiah went around and he was just telling the people, how many kernels of corn are on an ear of corn and stuff like that? Well, what good would that do? Timely message. And so it gives us the principle of who is God calling. Now, in the time of Jeremiah, hopefully you been reading the book of Jeremiah because we're in Sunday school, that one thing that you find out is there are a multiplicity of false prophets. There's a multiplicity of false prophets who say that they're called of God and they are preaching a false message. A message that the people want to hear, but it is not, they have not been called by God. They dream dreams of their own undoing. They prophesy of their own heart. They give lies from their own deception. Now, so who is God calling? Let's look at a little bit about Jeremiah that we can see something about Jeremiah. It says here, verse 17, "Thou therefore learn, gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." Now, what is he saying? What kind of man does God need to proclaim the truth? God needs a man who will not change the message. God needs a man who will not falter because of the reception that the message gets. He says, this is the kind of person that you need to be. He says, you need to be like a defensed city. You need to be a city like a wall around it that cannot be broken into despite all the opposition. He says, you need to be like an iron pillar that cannot be moved, cannot be penetrated, cannot be changed. You know what? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, if you've been around long enough, remember when the Catholic Church said that it wasn't a sin to eat meat on Friday? Maybe you're old enough, maybe you're not. But you know, Catholics were confused, weren't they? They thought, you know, all these years, it's been a sin to eat other than fish on Friday. And now all of a sudden it's okay? They're saying, oh, what's... Well, they were asking the right question. They're saying, well, maybe what else is it that they're teaching us that isn't the truth that's going to get changed? Well, you know what? He said, you need to be like an iron pillar. You need to be the kind of person that doesn't change. That doesn't change what you're preaching. That doesn't stop preaching. That doesn't alter the message because of the opposition of the people. That's it. That's such an important principle. They have to have someone who's going to preach despite the response of the people. Despite of the circumstances of life, he's not going to change the message. You know, that's the problem today. One of my friends in the ministry wrote a poem on fundamentalism, 1985, great missionary. And he was saying about fundamentalists, he's saying, you know, and their wives wear dresses, they don't wear trousers. 20 years later, came off the field, his wife is wearing trousers. What? What? Did God lead him in the first place? Well, who knows? What is the truth? The truth doesn't change, folks. The Bible doesn't change. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the kind of person that God needs today. People who are not going to change, because if they change, they're a false representation of the Word of God. Because the Word of God doesn't change. Amen? He needs someone who's going to represent properly the truth of the Word of God. Now notice, secondly, it says in Jeremiah 9 and verse 6. Here's Jeremiah weeping. "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Here's, you know, some people can preach as though they want people to go to hell. Some people can preach as though they want the judgment of God to come. God doesn't want the judgment to come. He wants the people to repent. And so Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. He didn't want to see his city, beloved city, destroyed. He didn't want all the terrible things that were going to happen to Jerusalem. He didn't want them to happen. But he had compassion in his soul for the people. And this properly represents God. Amen? Compassion for the people. And we also are reminded that in Jeremiah 5, and there's other verses that say this better, and it says, 5 verse 14, "Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire." Now, here is a very important truth. You know, the word of God is real. The message is real. It's living. It's the living word of God. You know, it ought to affect the preacher. It ought to stir their soul and bring up a fire in their life. That's what we need. We need fire. Men with fire today. Not wilters, not namby-pambies, but people who have experienced the word of God and preach it with fire. And the word of God is like fire. And the preacher is supposed to be like fire. I'm not just talking about just a bunch of hot air, but the message of God's word. The apostles, what did the apostles say? We cannot but speak. You can't tell us not to talk. You can't tell us not to witness. Oh, that we were like that today, weren't they? That boy, you couldn't stop us from witnessing. You couldn't stop us from telling people about Christ. That the word of God would have such great hold of our soul that we just keep on. But I'm afraid that too many times we're just wilters. You know, we wilt at people's faces and we wilt fearing what they might respond. And rather than having fire, you know, the fire, young person, think about this. The way you're going to convince other young people that what you have is the truth is if you got fire in your soul. If you're apologetic for the Bible, you know, you're walking around like, you know, I'm going to hide my Bible. I don't want anybody to see my Bible. I don't want anybody to know I'm a Christian. You know, a lot of people dress that way, you know it? A lot of girls dress like that. They don't want people to know that they're Christian. Well, I tell you what. That's maybe a good indication they aren't a Christian. Because they're ashamed of the gospel. Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now, if you're ashamed of the gospel, maybe you need to ask God to put some fire in your soul. Amen? Get the power of the Holy Spirit. Have something to say for God. Get a message that people need to get hear. And so God wants the truth to be known. Number two, God calls men to proclaim the truth. God is still calling. Don't you think that God needs a new army? A new army who will hear the call of God. You know, I read this book about the Amish. And that book just revealed to me how much of the Amish religion is just of the flesh. But it also revealed to me how much of Bible-believing Baptist churches are of the flesh. And this person talking about the Amish would say, you know, when we were kids, we made sure we had to go to the bathroom. You know, we wanted to get out of the service. So we had to make sure we go to the bathroom. You know, I don't see a lot of that lately, but there used to be a time when, man, every kid in the world had to go to the bathroom, you know? And you know what? They had to go to the bathroom for a reason. You know what it was? Get out of the services. And they'd stay in there as long as they could. Well, you know what? That's kind of fleshly, isn't it? They didn't want to hear the Bible. And then I remember that every year they would pick preachers for their district. And they would make a list of people that were going to be considered to be the preachers of the district. And if a wife saw her husband's name on that list, she'd be weeping and wailing and saying, oh no, I hope he doesn't get elected. And, oh, that was horrible. That is a horrible thing to be, you know what? To be voted to be a preacher. Oh, that's terrible. Wow. Sounds like a lot of Baptist churches, doesn't it? And then he was telling about how this particular family, their family tried to follow the rules. And the fact was there was only one other family, maybe two other families in the whole, whatever they call that district that they had, that group, that tried to follow the rules. All the rest of the people tried to do whatever they could to get by the rules. You know, they tried to, you know, just get by with it, you know. They didn't want to follow the rules. They wanted to see how far they could not follow the rules. I thought, wow, that's like a lot of Baptist churches, you know. No, sounds to me like they got a lot of unsaved people, like a lot of Baptist church might have a lot of unsaved people, at least carnal people. But the whole thing was, you know, the center of God's plan is calling men to preach the Bible. Amen. That's the center of God's plan. And that ought to be the most exciting thing that happens in any church, is God calling men to preach the truth. That's the center of God's plan. And, you know, young person, it is still the center of God's plan. Now, the third thing we're going to mention about the truth, about God's plan for the truth, is that God's plan, God's truth, has nothing to do, truth is not dependent on the receptivity of men. Throughout the book of Jeremiah, we find words like this. But they obeyed not, Jeremiah 17:23, neither inclined their ear, but they made their neck stiff, that they might not hear, nor receive instruction. Wow. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear. Did the people's response decide if Jeremiah was preaching the truth or not? Did the people's response determine if Jeremiah was preaching the truth or not? No. The truth is not dependent on how many people receive it, nor how many people believe it, or how many people obey it, or how many people like it. The truth is the truth because it is the truth. Amen? Now God's people need to figure that out. The truth is the truth, and it's not dependent on how many people receive it, how many people like it, how many people obey it, how many people listen to it. The truth is the truth because it is the truth. And you know, the sad thing is many times we have the idea that it can't be the truth if people aren't receiving it. No. The Bible makes it clear. The truth is the truth because it's the truth, whether people receive it or not. I remember years ago, boy, it's a long time ago, over 35 years ago. Our young people were in a Christian school and they decided they have a basketball team. And you know, back in those days, the NBA, their basketball uniforms were pretty short trunks. And you know, Christian college I went to, that's the kind of uniforms they had too. Their trunks were, you know, way up to here. And I guess they didn't read the Bible much. But I went to the pastor and I protested. I said, you know, that kind of uniform is against the Bible. And these young men need to be covered. And and he said to me, Ron, nobody believes that. Nobody believes that. That was the end of the discussion. It didn't have anything to do with what the Bible said. It was all about the truth was determined by how many people believed it. This is a good, fundamental man. I wonder, are you like that? Is that really how you think? The truth is dependent on how many people believe it, or how many people like it, or how many fundamental preachers believe it, or how many people you know accept it. Or is the truth because the truth is the truth no matter what? And I think that's one of the great messages that we need from the book of Jeremiah. It doesn't matter how many people are teaching something the opposite. And the book of Jeremiah is full of the false prophets and the lying prophets, prophets who dreamed dreams of their own mind, prophets who were deceived by their own hearts, prophets who said they were God's prophets and they weren't God's prophets. The last thing we need to understand about the truth is the truth will stand. Turn to Jeremiah 44. And lo and behold, Jeremiah is in Egypt after Jerusalem has been destroyed. And the People still refuse to hear the message of the Lord. And it's amazing how they have deceived themselves. And and they said that, you know, when we used to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, we had safety and we were in Jerusalem and everything was okay. Then we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and judgment came. We're going to go back to burning incense to the Queen of Heaven. And it's amazing that the people could think in such a twisted way. And Jeremiah summarizes the message that says, no, you're wrong. And you've gone back to burning incense to the Queen of Heaven. None of you will make it through because God is going to judge Egypt and God's going to judge you that are in Egypt. And their false prophet says, no, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We're fine. And then Jeremiah says this, verse 28, yet a small number that escaped the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose words shall stand, mine or theirs. Whose word will stand, mine or theirs? You know, God's word is going to stand. And the day was going to come that it's all going to be brought out into the open. And the word of God is the word that is going to stand. And all those false prophets and all those who are leading the apostasy, it's going to be clear that their message has been a false message. But the word of God shall stand. And it's been that, like that throughout the centuries. You know, I think it was a 1933 edition of Encyclopedia Britannica, an entry on the Hittites. And it basically said, you know, this is a fictitious group of people mentioned in the Bible. Well, because archaeology didn't know anything about the Hittites. But the Bible talked about the Hittites. And the Bible declared that they were a great and mighty nation. Well, whose word stood? Encyclopedia Britannica or the Bible? You know, you'd think that every archaeologist in the world would be a believer. Because all the archaeologists in the Bible lands, if they want to know something about some city, the first resource they go to is the Bible. They don't believe it. They don't believe it's God's word. But if they want to find out something about an unknown city, or whatever, and where it is located, and what this mound that's tell might be, they're going to go to the Bible first. Even though they don't believe it. You know, the Bible is going to stand. The Bible is going to stand. Men change. Churches change. People change. God's word doesn't change. God's truth doesn't change. You know, the preacher that stops preaching what he used to preach is really telling the people that God's truth changes. Amen? That's what he's saying. That you can't depend on the Bible. You know, we need to let the Word of God get a hold of our life. We need to have the Holy Spirit take control of our life. You know, I read one time this expose written by the dean of students of a well-known college. And this expose was an expose, I don't know, 30, 40 pages on whether a Christian should go to the movies or not. And I read this thing, and you know, he's giving all these pros and all these cons and all what this verse says and what this verse says blah, blah, blah. And that they're basically saying, you know what? You need to be a Bible college graduate and know 5,000 verses before you can figure out if you should go to the movies or not. Well, I tell you what, how many years is that going to take? That's going to take a long time, isn't it? And does God want you to go to the movies when you're one day old in the Lord? No. He doesn't want you to go there. But you know what? If it takes 5,000 years to study the Bible to find out, you'll never know. But praise God, the Holy Spirit is still alive. And God says, be holy for I'm holy. And he says that to avoid all uncleanness and lasciviousness and youthful lusts. And you know what? You don't have to be more than a day old in the Lord for the Holy Spirit say, you don't need to go that lustful thing. That's all it takes. And you know, as you study the Bible, you're going to find out that over and over and over and over and over, it says the same thing. Over and over. But you don't have to know 5,000 verses to know the Holy Spirit, then know that He's holy and that He is righteous, and your flesh doesn't need that. And you need to... it would just cause you to have the wrong kind of thoughts. No. You know, the truth is consistently the same. You know, whatever it is, God is going to allow you enough truth for you to act on. And as you act on it, as you grow in the Lord, you're going to find out that God doesn't make any mistakes. I'm going to show you that is the truth over and over and over, and your convictions are going to become stronger and stronger and stronger. They're not going to become weaker and weaker and weaker, because the truth is the truth always. God is a God of truth. Is that the God that you know? The God of truth. God is looking for young men who know God. Who will not change with the times. Who the Word of God will take a hold of their life, that it will be a fire in their soul. That's who God needs today. Yet today, and more so today than ever before. That's what God needs. And think of the multitudes of the world. You know, there's so much religion. You know, Africa has so much religion. I'm sure that if you haven't been to Africa, and we're having a missions conference, you know, but when you think of Africa, you think of all these people, and you're thinking, wow, there's so few Baptist churches, wow, we need to have missionaries over there. You know, that's the truth. But if you go to Africa and you go to Thika, you go down the main road, you'll probably pass anywhere from 10 to 30 churches. Oh, they got lots of religion. I mean, they got churches everywhere. But talk to one of the people. How they get saved. They are so confused. They don't have a clue how to be saved. You know, God is calling people who will stand for the truth and give the truth. That's who He's calling. The world is full of false prophets and people who've been called of their own nature. But God has a great plan for the truth. He wants it to be known. He calls men to proclaim it. The truth is not dependent on the receptivity of man, and the truth will stand the test of time. It will always be true, proven to be true. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the reminder in the book of Jeremiah. We're reminded that, Lord, that Jeremiah's message is so apropos to today. And, Lord, we need young men who will be like an iron pillar. Lord, who will be unmovable in the face of opposition and ridicule and persecution. Who will stand true despite the rejection of men. Despite, Lord, the positive prophets who preach falsely. Lord, I pray that in your grace and mercy that you had touched the hearts of the young men in this place and the next generation, Lord. We need another generation now, Lord, of those who will say, thus saith the Lord. We need a new generation, Lord, that have fire in their souls, where the word of God is not just some academic or resuscitation, but Lord, the word of God is a burning fire in their soul. The truth of your word cannot be held back. Lord, might it be so. And Lord, I pray that your people in this place tonight would establish them, strengthen them, help them to think clearly in this day of decay, in this day of compromise, in this day of young fundamentalists, Lord, who are soft and weak, and Lord, making very little mention of the apostasy of the hour. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen your people to know the truth and not to be deceived by the hour in which we live. And Lord, help us to be those who stand behind men like Jeremiah and support him as you did. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.